Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I am doing well.
Good, good.
But I have found a few things in the world that's not doing so well.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think our foreign policy is lousy.
Yeah.
And it's bipartisan. That's probably why it's a double whammy.
Yeah,
because they really agree on it. Because I want to start off with something on foreign policy. It has to do with China. And Rubio gets a lot of attention about foreign policy. But Rubio's sort of involved in this China thing, you know, a couple ways. Because he blamed China for everything that's happened in the world when it comes to coronavirus. But, you know, I don't think all the facts are in. But I don't think the people who place 100% of the blame on China for the coronavirus, I don't think they're quite there. I don't think they can defend it, and maybe it might be just an excuse because there's a certain number of people who like China bashing, and there's a lot of people in this country. Certainly, Rubio and Cruz are in that category, and they've been very noisy, and and they're very supportive of our putting on sanctions with China. I don't think that our administration, when it comes to China, is very interested in peaceful trade.
Yeah.
At least it's going to be aggravated and noisy, and there's a lot of threats going back and forth now. Between Pompeo and Esper, and they're shouting at each other. I just don't like what's going on because they might not be able to control it. It might get out of control and cause some real things to happen. And the old saying is, when a country gets into financial trouble, sometimes they think a war is a good thing. It distracts. Certainly George W. Bush believed it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work out well in the end. And this is what some people think are happening. And when you read about our efforts to sort of just be in their face and poke our fingers in their eyes with China, it looks like we're just looking for something, to do with them. And this is followed up even close home now. The United States just suddenly closed the consulate.
Yeah.
In great symbolism, and it's a real affront to the Chinese. But on this issue, if we want to go and talk about this like we do, as objectively as possible, and say, well, let's settle down. How bad are they? Are they about ready to attack us, or is this being overblown? And most Americans sort of like to have an enemy. Right now, even though we won the argument, lost a lot of lives over it, we won the argument over Iraq. People wanted that. At first they didn't want it, then they wanted it because they listened to the propaganda. And right now, I almost have this sense that there's some similarity to what's happening in the news between our two countries, with Iran is involved too, and partially with Russia, that this is the kind of noise we heard leading up to the Iraq war. And the numbers changed dramatically with the propaganda. The longer they had access to the media, the angrier the American people got. And right now, Trump is a punching bag. And even though he may be, in a position to talk a little bit about our way, our philosophy, like he wants to bring the troops home from Afghanistan, and yet he was met with resistance from Republicans on that. So he gets no credit from the people who would like to see a change in foreign policy for either way. So politically, it's not going to do him much good. But for us to try to present the truth and try to convince people that non-intervention is a worthwhile philosophy and that they should stop and think before they've decided that the ultimate enemy of the world ever is the current Chinese government, which I don't happen to believe. I think they're bad news, and you have to be careful. But, for us to say that we're putting on sanctions because they have political prisoners and they don't following civil liberties and abuse their people, that's a little bit bold when you think about some of the things our government does to us and how much privacy have we lost. So it's a bit hypocritical. But the big point I want to make is that there's a lot of stirring, a lot of animosity, and this was just one more thing closing down the consulate, and that's going to not, that will not help our relationship. It makes them worse, and that pleases everybody. Certainly, Rubio loves it, and Cruz loves it, and Pompeo loves it, and they want to keep boosting it. They see this as an opening to really slam them hard. I think it's dangerous.
It is, and as you mentioned, it is symbolic. It was the consulate was opened in 1979 when the U.S. re-recognized China and started on a new path toward good relations. I think Trump feels like this is a relatively risk-free thing to do. He's been very vocal about calling it the China virus and China this and China that. I think it gives him the opportunity to divert attention from Russia, which he's been accused of being in the pay of, in the back pocket of for so long, and to prove that he's tough. See, I'm tough. I can be tough with the foreign country. I think he's misreading this, and I think he's getting very bad advice from people who want to escalate with China, maybe up to and maybe even including war. I would argue that many of them, Trump included, want to get us up to that point because it's good for Washington's bottom line. We talk about Pompeo. Everything that we're talking about today, I think, can be linked to Pompeo's visit to the UK. Very importantly, the UK reversed its position on Huawei recently and decided to join the US in banning the Chinese cell phone company, which is enormously significant. Pompeo was in the UK yesterday meeting with his counterpart and also with the Prime Minister right as all of this was going down. Earlier in the month, Trump added sanctions onto China because of Hong Kong. So it's all coming together in a package. So here is Pompeo appearing in a press conference with his counterpart in the UK. And classic Pompeo, classic Pompeo's pomposity. He expressed condolences to the British people for their losses in this, quote, preventable pandemic. So essentially in doing that, he is literally accusing China of purposefully spreading the virus around and killing people in the UK. He then went on to say, accused the Chinese government of exploiting this disaster to further its own interests, and he says it's been disgraceful. Rather than helping the world, General Secretary Xi has shown the world the party's true face. Extraordinarily provocative on Pompeo's part. As this embassy or as this consulate was being closed, he continues, and then he called on all democratic countries to join and unite against the threat of Chinese aggression and demanding that China start behaving consistently with international rules and international order, which is exactly what they said to Russia, exactly what they said to Syria and Iran. It's literally the same line now transferred to China.
I remember back when I was in Congress and I was on the committee, Foreign Affairs Committee, that this subject came up, that we were going to do something even back then to punish the Chinese. And I brought up this subject of, well, don't we do this? Don't we spy on them? And put that, and you know, they never once refuted it or wanted to talk about it. And they more or less conceded the point. But what they shouldn't concede is that gives them leeway to do whatever they want. This should make the point, well, if we do this, what about us making sure that we have no spies in China?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We have nobody in Taiwan, and we have nobody in Hong Kong, and we have no interest there. And that would be equivalent to the Chinese, I'm sure, have their spies in this country. But I would say, man for man, we have a lot more spying going on in their country. But, you know, the average American, the natural reaction would be, you know, a patriotic reaction. Well, our people are protecting our sovereignty and our liberties. But I tell you what, they're kidding themselves if they think this is the way you protect your liberties, by provoking problems. How many wars have we gotten into that have not been beneficial? And yet the liberties have been lost. We didn't win these wars, really. And even if we did, the liberties are lost. You know, all these wars in the Middle East, a lot of money and lives and all killed. And the people, you know, at one time are patriotic. And believe me, the few of us that voted against that war, met with a lot of grief from constituents. But, you know, in time, in a year or two or three, the attitude changed. But this is going on right now, and you can't go to the conservatives and say, hey, look, you know, the conservative constitutional position here is, a little bit more diplomacy, less demagoguery, less provoking. You're not going to get much help from them. And then the progressives, even if they lean toward a more sensible program like us, they wouldn't do anything that might help, Trump do the right thing. So they join in, and that's why they join with the Republicans, and the Democrats, have a lot of control. Once again, that bipartisanship is doing well on foreign policy against America's interests, the way I believe.
Yeah, and there's a lot of propaganda around the closing of this consulate in addition to the timing. The State Department spokesperson said that the move was, quote, made to ensure the protection of American intellectual property and personal data of U.S. citizens. So the Chinese are over there in Houston just sucking up all this information, apparently, is what they want us to believe. Well, we know one person who believes it, and that's our first clip, as you pointed out, the infamous, the guy who's never seen a potential war he doesn't want to turn into a real war. Marco Rubio, last seen trying to get the Venezuelans to rise up and destroy their country to benefit his cronies in Florida. But here's Rubio. China's consulate in Houston is not a diplomatic facility. It's the central node of the Communist Party's vast network of spies and influence operations in the United States. Now that building must close and the spies have 72 hours to leave or face arrest. This needed to happen. And to bolster this, you have the media, of course, always compliant, probably infiltrated by the CIA. You probably saw this too, Dr. Paul. The Houston Fire Department and Police Department were called out because of a, quote, document fire going on at the consulate, supposedly. Who talks this way? Who calls up the police and say, 9/11, what's your emergency? There's a, quote, document fire somewhere. You'd say there's a fire. But it's meant to sound terrible. They're burning documents. They're desperate to get out. Well, what do people think that the normal protocol would be in a diplomatic facility when you've been told you have 72 hours to leave and you have classified material in there, as all countries do? What would the State Department do? Oh, let's just leave this stuff out. No one's going to bother it. It'll be fine. So if they were burning documents, that would, I would assume, would be the normal protocol for evacuating a diplomatic facility under duress. But that's not how the media portrayed it.
No, they tend to have their agenda for sure. You know, the way I see this in general terms, we portray China sort of like old communist China, Mao Zedong's, terribly powerful authoritarianism. They're still bad. But then again, they are different. But the other side would paint us as pure free market people and extremists in that we don't take care of anybody. But neither side is true. Communism has changed. Matter of fact, I remember 1979 because I was in Washington at the time that a high official came there from China and opened up some of this discussion. But the whole thing is the crony capitalism that we have now is not what we're accused of. So in some ways, communism has softened, and we have actually gotten worse in leaving more from the marketplace, because all you have to do is look at that, of course, is a challenging statement. Because what do you mean we're leaving and we're not the capitalists of the world? Well, just look at it. Look at how we spend money and print money, and we're authoritarians, and we violate our civil liberties. And to say that we're pure freedom and they're pure communists, actually they're in there here. And I guess it's just like back to arguing over some trade issues and intellectual property, which probably goes on. But the way I understand is that China has been pretty open on some of those things you do. If you're a businessman and you go there, then you actually agree that they have access to what you're selling and doing. But nevertheless, I'm sure there's plenty of theft going on in competition, but it's not healthy. But we fight it, and symbolically, they look at it as if we're radical laissez-faire, and ruthless and unkind to all the people, and we look at them and say, oh, you know, Mao's still there. He's still in control, and he's murdering a million Chinese every year. So it's we have a long way to go. But when people ask me, well, why would you do this? What are you going to do to China? And I say, really, not a whole lot. You know, if they're stealing, we should deal with it. If they're stealing because we're over there, maybe we shouldn't go over there. But it's not me, if I'm a congressman, my responsibility to impose the laws or change the law and threaten. And that's what's coming up. There are a lot of threats. You know, the Secretary of War, Esper, you know, he's threatening them too. He says, don't you dare do this. So we depend on our strength and our threatening and our sanctions and our control of the financial market. But guess what? It's getting weaker and weaker, and it's more often to be bluster than anything else. So this, I think things are moving faster now, and that's why my main urging would be for the American people, take it easy. Don't support everything that is antagonistic. Even if somebody has done something nasty, that doesn't mean that we should travel 6,000, 7,000 miles away here and put our aircraft carriers on their doorstep. Yeah. I mean, that's like just going over and getting a conversation with a diplomat and sticking your fingers straight in their eye.
Yeah.
So we're looking for trouble, and other people say, well, that's a sign of weakness. Maybe it's a sign of wisdom that we're not looking for another war.
And you mentioned Esper, the I like how you called him the Secretary of War. That's better than Defense Secretary. That's yeah. more appropriate. But Pompeo is also the Secretary. Everyone's a Secretary of War in the government. But, you know, we both saw the same piece on antiwar.com today where Esper really is escalating, and he's pounding the table. No one's going to stop U.S. military ships in the South China Sea. The word China is in there because it's there. But he said, well, the U.S. is going to uphold the free and open system. We have to prepare for the possibility that China will continue its aggressive behavior in the South China Sea. And to prevent that, he promised we're going to send more military equipment to the South China Sea. So who's that being aggressive is the question. But we'll finish up on China with one more thing, I think, and that is, the ramping up of propaganda. And this had some headlines a few days ago, and it went around the rounds on the social media. This video, this breathtaking video of the Chinese rounding up Uyghurs and putting them in boxcars and sending them to concentration camps. See, this just goes to show how horrible and evil these Chinese are. Just this week, they're sending all of these Uyghurs off. Well, in fact, that video was at least 2 years old, according to timestamps. It's an old video. It had a very strong propaganda effect, which makes you wonder how it was inserted into the social media everywhere. I would suggest our intelligence agencies are not taking a break. But, you know, our good friend Caitlin Johnstone, who spoke at our conference a couple of years ago, I think she really captured it. And I'll read a quick little quote. She said, there's a slow motion third world war underway between the U.S. centralized power alliance and the nations like China, which have resisted being absorbed into it. It's largely being facilitated by propaganda. And I think that is what we're seeing. Into what she says, I would add Iran, Syria, Russia, Libya, the whole Arab Spring, Ukraine, etc. Everyone that's resisting being subsumed into this, and UK certainly is not resisting, there is this kind of quiet war against them all. And that's the common denominator in U.S. foreign policy, is this maintenance of a U.S. global military empire, even as the U.S. loses its global financial strength and military strength. So that's what I think is happening. And it is a real danger, and that's why we wanted to make it the top piece today.
Yeah, and if you would, I'm trying to get you to make a short comment about, you know, this recent vote, NDAA. Remember how often we talked about the NDAA and how they sneak things in? Well, what they did, I guess it was yesterday or the day before, it wasn't really sneaking because it was out in the open. There was some debate and some lobbying on this, and this had to do with Trump wanting to do what he said during the campaign. So in this area, he's been okay. Sometimes when he's consistent, that's good because he's doing what we like. And sometimes he's consistent, then he's doing something wrong and we don't like it, like when he deals with Iran. But they had the vote and they had the amendment come up. And it was to reject what Trump wants, you know, to not allow him to bring the troops home. But once again, we talked a little bit about that because how much authority do we have? Does Trump his trumpet, you know, because he's the commander in chief. But the vote was 284 to 124, 129, which is a political vote because technically it's my opinion that he probably, you know, I don't like a lot of power gravitating to the president. But if you're in conflict and you have troops out in the field, you don't want, I think you have to assume that if you're in that business, you have to have a commander in chief of the military. So if he wants to move troops out of harm's way, I don't know how they can say, oh no, we're going to deny funds to you. You can't pull that ship up there and haul our troops out of there. So I don't think, but it's still a sad vote. And it sort of makes my point, you know, about this bipartisan friendship. That when it push comes to shove, they get together. Pelosi was down there. But, of course, anti-Trumpism was the big issue there, too.
Yeah, Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy, the Republican minority leader in the House, both of them together. Well, guess what? The blood is going to be on their hands if they refuse to allow Trump to bring some of these Americans home who don't need to be there. And more Americans get killed. They need to shoulder that response. If they want to be the commander-in-chief, which is illegal, then they should shoulder the responsibility of the implications of a bad policy. And, of course, you know, Washington's lifeblood is war. But you have some headlines that were bothering you today, so let's
get them off our chest. U.S. strikes a $2 billion deal. That used to be a lot of money, but that's peanuts now because we only deal in trillions.
Yeah.
Okay, but we'll deal with this, $2 billion. U.S. strikes $2 billion deal to buy COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer. Huh? You mean that's part of that crony capitalism and this drug industry, this power? $2 billion. But 100 million doses of vaccine. And, you know, yesterday I think I talked about there's some people now arguing the vaccines aren't all that good, so you have to give them two shots.
Yeah, a double up.
And wait longer. And it means you can't do anything until you get your second shot. Just means more lockdown thing. But this is more money. But the irony here is... they even admit they haven't fully tested this yet. What kind of art of a deal is this? You know, you buy something you don't want, you're picking a poke or something like that. I mean, this is terrible. And besides, we think that vaccines, when they're necessary and good, they should be developed in the marketplace. But you don't have to worry. This is free.
No.
This is people will never have to pay for this. And they just go in. So two shots in order to keep tabs on people and make you wait another 6 months to make sure you're negative.
Yeah.
That exists. So that's on the cards, but I don't think this is going to get reversed. I think these deals are made in the dark of the night, and it's already been done.
Well, crony capitalism is the right word. Do you remember a certain individual who may or may not used to have headed up the CDC who had made the rounds over these past few months on CNBC and elsewhere talking up the fact that we've got to have a vaccine. Nothing else will replace a vaccine. We've got to have a vaccine. Well, let's look at the next clip. This will tell you, this will refresh our memories a little bit about who this person was. You remember the face, Scott Gottlieb, former director of the CDC. He was elected in 2019 to be on Pfizer's board of directors. So here's Pfizer's guy going around TV like an objective analyst about how we need a vaccine, and his company just gets a free $2 billion from the rest of us, the U.S. Treasury. That is crony capitalism. It's worst time.
There's a lot of that. It's a hard thing to find. You know, matter of fact, I don't even like the word capitalism. I like that because it's been distorted so much. But the only way, if you have to use it, you should always use crony capitalism.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes I'll try free market capitalism to try to distinguish it. But what we're talking about is our free markets, people that negotiate and make deals one-on-one, and people don't cheat each other. But I have one other one here I think we have time to go over. And this is a single item. It comes from Huntington Beach, beautiful beach.
Uh-huh.
And the headline is, this is somebody they were interviewing there. I don't believe it. Huntington Beach is a symbol of mass resistance as doubters abound. Maybe I should go back and visit that beach. But let me, the person that they were interviewing here, he says, I just don't believe it. I don't believe the rates are rising. They're inflated. It's another way of shutting everything down, of the Democrats trying to get what they want. And then he finally says something else. If you, this is the best, this is the most direct advice to give. If you don't want to go outside don't go outside. But that's way too radical. I mean, where are we going with that? You mean you're supposed to use common sense and personal decisions? No, that's not good.
Well, in another lifetime, I used to body surf at Huntington Beach all the time, so I know what kind of guys there are there, and they're not pushovers.
Oh, you mean you're not going to stand up for this guy?
No, I mean in a good way. They don't listen to the government. Oh, I mean, that's the old heart of
when you do those waves out there, you become independent. Nobody props you up.
That's right. So you had another one that
Yes, I do, and I think that... maybe you're really good on these statistics and things, and I'll see if you can figure this one out. Coronavirus infections, 13 times higher than reported in some parts of the United States. And there's always Mickey Mousing around with these statistics. And I would, my gut reaction is, well, that doesn't, it's an exaggeration, which they wanted. But what about if you're in South Dakota where they view certain things and they live in a rural state? That might be different than if you're in a nursing home in New York. That's the whole thing. So I think, again, it's fudging the numbers, but it was propaganda.
It is.
And in my opinion.
Yeah, well, the report was from the new report from the CDC, those guys who said, don't wear a mask, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, don't do this, don't do that. 30 million are going to die. No, they're not. A lot of credibility there. It's the new CDC report, and here's the crux of it. Large numbers of asymptomatic people may have kept the virus spreading in communities. So that's the underlying. So basically, keep the fear alive, wear your mask. And the CDC researcher, Dr. Fiona Havers, who led the study, here's what she says. Here's her conclusion. Even those who do not know their infection status should wear a cloth face covering. So that's really what it's all about. Well, I'm going to close with some good news. We're actually going to move ahead three spots, if we can, to that one graph. We're going to skip a couple of things because we got a little long-winded today. But there we are. Here's some good news. Here's from the Texas Medical Center up in Houston. These are the daily COVID hospitalizations. They have a negative 0.4% daily growth rate average over the last 7 days. It looks like it's the hospitalizations have peaked out in Houston or on the downslope of even as what we contend are grossly exaggerated, because if you go in for a gallbladder surgery and have COVID, you're a COVID hospitalization. So even taking that into account, you're still seeing that decline in hospitalizations. And let's look at the last one. Here's more good news. We would say good news because that hospitalizations having peaked, that means that in the Houston Medical Center, which remember, just 3 days ago, they were ordering morgue trucks in because bodies were dropping in the streets. Well, it looks like they're not even going to have to go into phase 3 of intensive care unit room opening. They're in the lower end of phase 2. They just barely bumped over their normal phase 1 intensive care unit bed availability. So they have not gone even beyond the minimum. That's good news for everyone who actually cares about people. It's bad news for the fearmongers and scaremongers, but it looks like we are over the hump. The question that we had it yesterday, we have it today, and we'll have it tomorrow. What are they going to do next to try to scare the heck out of us?
I think that's key to it. Who's going to be the winner of this tug of war going on? And right now, they need an enemy, or they need a bad statistic. And if they don't get enough excitement by continuing the war against the virus, unfortunately, they're going to have build up the enemy, in China, and that's worked out pretty well. They can combine China both with they're stealing our secrets and they spread in the virus, this sort of thing. But they can't exist without it. And I guess now that we've talked a little bit about Huntington Beach, we might just need more truth tellers, and we get the truth tellers out there, and they can't hide that forever. I think we have enough freedom left to do that, and I think our numbers are improving, but we don't have, we nickel and dime it, but truth is powerful. And they have not billions, they have trillions of dollars to play these games. They have war machines going on, and it's international. They've gotten this whole epidemic, pandemic to be international. And also, we stated that they're trying to make concern about China international. They're bringing people together. So I think we're doing okay in the sense that more people are becoming alert to it, but we still have a long way to go. And I do want to make sure that we hear the Ron Paul Liberty Report, that we strongly, appreciate the support you have given us, because I do think that we see changes. We see the natural changes that occur because viruses do that. But the other kind of war is not so natural. It's done by evil people who stir up wars. And when I think back of the first decade of this century, it sort of makes me ill. But that's not new. That's been going on for a long time. And I have trouble understanding, you know, it really isn't a high cost to have peaceful relationships with people. But there's the few people who can control the message out there and stir up trouble and demagogue the issue and scare the living wits out of people. That's how they've gotten this far with the regulations and the lockdowns, the imprisonments, and the violation of civil liberties over this virus. They've been just able to scare people, and people are still a little bit scared. So that's why these changes in the statistics are going to be going to be very beneficial. They don't either listen to us or believe us, and there's a lot of people not, because we don't have that huge of an audience. But I tell you what, we feel good about the message being spread, and you have helped us do that, and we want to make sure you know we appreciate that. And I think the issue is very clear-cut. It's the issue of liberty versus authoritarianism, and we strongly believe in the concept of liberty to solve our problem. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.